Okay, I think we're in business now. Yeah. All right. We're in, if I'm in my Leakin, we are on in Halacha Gimel, which is on page Tezainu Beis, excuse me. Kol Yetzim Neitz. Ain Malikin El Pishtan. Anything which comes from wood, one cannot use as a wick except for linen. Chol Hayetzim Mineitzim Metame Tumas Olim. Anything which comes from wood does not metame and Tumas Olim. Now, Tumas Olim means specifically not the stuff under the tent. The stuff under the tent always is tame. In other words, if I make a tent with any material, so then anything under the tent, if it's together with a mace, becomes tame. The question is with what the material, what's metame the tent itself? Okay, does the tent itself become tummy to masalim? So if the tent is made of any material which comes from wood other than flax, it doesn't become tummy. Now, for some reason, I don't know why I never paid attention to that when learning the Bavli, but this was like a totally new concept to me today. I don't know what I did when I learned about Mem Adlikin. I certainly don't know what I do every Friday night when I say this, but this is a...
I ask myself a question.
Sad, sad comment, but yeah, that. But this taka means that there's only one substance which it itself becomes type one is the tent material. Now you have a wick made out of a garment, okay? Made out of a garment, an old garment. You folded it, meaning you twisted it to make it a wick, but you didn't singe it before Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer Meir Miller says if that garment is still makabel tuma, now it's not necessarily tome at this point, but it can become tome at this point because it's still considered to be a beged, and since it's a keli, it's still a beged. Ema likiboy now to use it as a wick. Why now to use the wick? Because then you're destroying a keli on Shabbos, right? If you may use it as a wick and you burn it on Shabbos, so it's like burning, it's like it's destroying a beged, which is awesome.
Even though mentally you designate
it. Oh, yeah, even though you designate it, it's not enough. You have to, and it's not enough even to twist it into a wick. You have to actually singe it from before Shabbos, according to Rabbi Lezer. Now, Rabbi Akiva says to Torah. It is a keli.
By singeing it,
yes. By burning it on Shabbos, it's destroyed, sure. In other words, if I took my shirt sleeve and I wrapped it around like that, right, to make it a wick, right? It's still a shirt sleeve. That's what Rabbi Lezer says. So therefore, it's still tameh, and therefore I can't light it on Shabbos. But I use it for benching licht, right? Because when it starts burning, I'm destroying the shirt.
I guess I don't understand. This shirt sleeve is...
It's you stick it in your oil, yeah. It's a wick. You're using an old garment as a wick. Now, it could be a piece of a garment, too. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. We're talking about using an old garment as a wick. Rabbi Akiva says, the moment it's folded and twisted into the form of the wick, it's tar. It means if it was tameh, then that loses its status as tumah, right? Because it doesn't need to be a wick. Malikin bar, there, you can use it to light candles. On Rabbi Shimon bar Yitzchak. Rabbi Shimon bar Yitzchak said, Ksiv, it says, La'los ner tamid. It says to bring up a constant flame. Shia Rulomar Chazal reckoned Shein Chosin Shalevis is nothing which makes a constant flame. Ella Pishtam Bilvad, except for flax or linen. Linen is the best kind of wick. I think nowadays you use cotton, but linen, I guess, is just as good, or it seems better. Tanav Shimon Elozomer Kol Yotzei Min Ha'Eitz. Anything which comes from a tree, Ein Bo Mishum Sholosh Al Sholosh. Now, anything other than flax, other than linen, as we will see, it's not matami if it's only 3x3 etzbos. What's minimum shear for any other garment? Only if it's made out of linen or wool. If it's made out of anything else, 3x3 tefachim. Shlosha al shlosha, as opposed to shalosh al shalosh. Okay, shalosh al shalosh is its bows, right? These are finger breadths. But linen and wool are fine materials. They are significant even in the size of 3 finger breadths by 3 finger breadths. Other materials are coarser materials. They're only significant in the size of 3x3 tefachim. Okay, is that clear? So that's what he says. Tanach Shimon Loz Merkiyot Tumeit Ein Bo Mishum Shalosh Shalosh. Umesachim Bo may also be used as schach in a sukkah, because if it's less than the shear, if it's not made into a garment, it's not considered to be significant. Chutz Min HaPishton, with the exception of flax. Flax is considered to be mekabel tuma, even if it's spun already into 3x3 it's both, and you cannot use it as a schach on a sukkah. So if you had rags made out of some other fiber and they were less than 3x3 tefachim, you'd use them as schach. But flax rags, the moment they're 3x3 tefachim, you may not use this schach. Okay? Is that clear? Well, I keep saying flax rags, linen rags. Rabbi Yossi said, also a sock oven. They made other garments, other than linen garments, as thick garments. Titzina, as we learned, ha'avim, thick garments, even harakim, even if they're soft, they are not mitame 3x3 at post, they're only mitame 3x3 tefachim. Okay? Amar Rabbi Lezer, mina mishkon lomdu. Rabbi Lezer said they learned this from the Mishkan. Now, what did they learn from the Mishkan? The concept of ohel. How do we learn the concept of ohel from the Mishkan? Because it says, v'esa mishkon ta'aseh eseriyo shesh marzor. The awning over the Mishkan was made out of 10 sheets made of woven sheish. What is woven sheish? So it says elsewhere in the pasuk, it says elsewhere that the mitznefes, the hat, was made out of sheish, right? And it says in Yechezkel, I think it's Yechezkel, yes, uksi parei pishtim yuha rosham. The Kohanim will wear hats of linen, right? Atlamed sheish mishesh, mishesh mipare. So from this we deduce that it says sheish by the curtain, the sheets over the top of the Mishkan. It says sheish by the hat of the Kohen Gadol. It says and the hat of the Kohen Gadol we know was made out of linen. So therefore, wherever it says sheish, as in big day sheish, it refers to linen garments. Okay. Okay, it's not clear exactly what the Kormaneda, Pnei Moshe, they all have difficulty, what exactly the Psukim are which are being used in this Gzeir Shava. But I'm telling you, I think the most straightforward way to do it is, neither of them say this, but that doesn't matter. The Yav says Shesh by the curtains. It says Shesh by the hat of Aaron HaKohen. And that's mitznefes, which is a hat. And it says there in Cheskel that that they're made out of linen. Now we have in this one of Dr. Spadel's favorite questions, which is, how can we learn something from Navi, right? How make Zer Shavon? I know the way. If I don't know the way your mind works right now, I'm in trouble. So the Tuv Yerushalayim asked that question. He blibed, yeah, you don't have the Tuv Yerushalayim, but it's on the bottom of this Gemara. And he doesn't answer it. But the thing is that you already noticed that Yushami doesn't have this Kpeda. Right? Yushami has done this before. So I don't remember where, but I remember the questions come up. So this, obviously, Yushami doesn't care. We learn back and forth from Torah to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Yeah, he brings down the possibility that it's a Gili Milsa. For some reason, he doesn't like that here. I forgot why. But for some reason, he doesn't like that. It says not similar to the other places where there's a Gili Milsa. I don't know exactly why, but I didn't look them up, but that's what he says. Okay. Says Gemara, Rabbi Lezer Shaw. Rabbi Lezer asked, Mao lasos oel mior be matmea. What happens if you, what he really means to ask is not can you, but rather, what is the status of an ohel made out of the hide of a tummy animal? Says more. What do you mean? It says explicitly that one of the awnings over the Mishkan was made out of tchoshim. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chemi, Rabbanan. That's Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chemi, Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda met Tainin. That's what we're about to discuss. Rabbi met Tainin. Rabbi says it's a Tainin, which is some sort of tummy animal. L'shem Tzovo Nikon, it's called by the name of its color. Rabbi Chemi, Galkitin. Galktinin, which is another kind of tummy animal, right? Rabbanan Amre min chayatoyra. Rabbanan say it was a unique kosher animal which is now extinct, ugdela by midbar. And it grew in the midbar. Okay, in other words, it never grew subsequently. Vitai is like Vaasya. And Vitai Kai, and it likes, goes like Demai Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Avo, both say B'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, B'shem Rabbi Meir and Meir, Kamin Chaya Tohira. A type of kosher animal, Bara Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe BaMidbar, when Hashem made for Moshe in the desert, came and Chaosa BaMelechus HaMishkan. Once it was utilized for the work of the Mishkan, Nignazo was subsequently put into Gniza, subsequently made extinct. Rabbi Avun Amar Keret. They're in their holding fence. Rabbi Avin Amar Keresh Hayashma. Its name was Keresh. Tani Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua learned the Chada Keren. It was a unicorn. Had one horn. Vatita Vativlav Lashem Mishor Par. Makrin Mapis. Now in the Bible, this passage brought down is referring to the shore, the ox which Adam Rishon brought as a korban in the first korban which was brought. But here in the Ushami is referring to learned is referring to the tchoshim, and it says that it's going to be better for God than the shore par makrinu mafris, which had horns and it had also hooves. So the horn is makrin. But it's ruined out Yud Makran because of Rachmana, and we learned that we darshan that to mean that it only had one horn. And this unicorn was the animal from which they made the roof on the Mishkan. So Gordon, yeah. It was. Yeah. No, I mean according to this opinion, right? Rab. No, but of course they may have been familiar with Greek mythology, but here they're dealing with the pasuk, Makrin. The dash in the pasuk that's taking a step further. There was no need for them to dash in that one. So, but in any event, be that as it may, this is according to Rabbanan. So Rabbanan don't have a raya that about making a tent out of a chayat tmeya, because according to them is a chayat tohira, right? Okay, says Gemara, Tamati, we learned over there. Anything which is less than 3 by 3 finger breadths, but nevertheless you designate for a specific purpose, such as shiskinu lopuk. He designated for stopping up a bathhouse, a bathtub. He designated to use to cut to shake up a pot. He designated to use to clean out your millstones. Whether it's prepared or not, tell me. Now, what prepared or not prepared means to discuss in a minute. Rabbi Shua says a different shot. Rabbi Shua argues. Sorry, no, this is a different shot. He argues. It should, now, here's a big typo. Instead of the next three words, Af Matlis Chadosh, it should be Bain. Both the Korban Eido and Pnei Moshe correct this. They say Bain mean Hamuchon, Bain Shainu mean Hamuchon Tohar. Since it's less than 3 by 3, regardless of whether it was designated or not, it's tohar. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Akiva says, Ben Che, Mina Muchan Tame. It was designated, it's tummy. Prepared, it's tummy. It was not prepared, then it's tar. Okay? Now, what do all these things mean? I don't think so. I mean, it is in Kalim, but I don't think so. It's, did you possibly know from Kalim?
No.
No? I don't remember this in the Bible, but it could be you're right and I'm wrong. I'm not to, I don't know. Come in, Shabbos, Taf, Chav, Tes. But in any event, so it says, Gemara, what does it mean? Mavina mucha, ma sheinu mina mucha. What is this mucha business, not mucha business? So first of all, I want to say, although the Gemara will reject this, bein sheichina l'tocha bais, o sheishlicha l'ashba. It doesn't matter whether you prepared it in your house or you threw it in the garbage, as long as it has a use, it's still considered to be makabel tula. Says Gemara, this cannot be. Vatnan, didn't we learn? Rabbi Lezer omer af matlis chadosha kayetiba. Rabbi Lezer said, now this is a little bit lacking here in the Sefer. It's kind of shorthand. If you take a look here on the Pnei Moshe explains it better. Expands on it. The Pnei Moshe is where it says Vatnan, and that is it. Excuse me. If you look up from where we are in the Gemara. Four lines in the Gemara, you'll see opposite there of Hatanan and the Pnei Moshe. Do you see that? Yes, a little gap. Hatanan, Shom, Beperach of Zion, Besofo. It says there in the 27th Perach of Kalim. Shol, 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 Shishlicha Ba'ashba. If you have a 3x3, that's both, which you threw into the garbage and the refuse heap, Toira. It's tar. Hichzira, if you took it back, it's a male. It's makabel tuma. Loyla machlochosa metarosa, generally speaking, always it's casting away makes it tar. And chazarosa, it's taking back metamosa, takes it tar me. Chutz mishal argomim shal zahoris toiva, except for purple dyed material, and that which is a beautiful red. If you even throw them out, they're still makabel tumah, because you're a fool. You're butler daitcha. It's clearly still valuable. Rav Lezer af matlis chadosha kayetzibor. Even a brand new rag, a brand new piece, bolt of material, is similar. The agav chashivusai, because they are so significant, lo batli. They're not canceled. Okay? So that's what the bright, that's what the Mishnah says there in Kalim. So let's go back to the Gemara. But tonight, Rabbi Lezer, Mother's Chadosh Kreitziba. So he's adding on. V'leis Barnash Omar Af. A person never says Af. Even Afilu. So also means even. Ella, rather, Ade, unless Maidya Kamaisa. Unless he concedes the original point. So what was the original point? The original point was that if you threw it into the garbage, and it's not of a special material, or it's not brand new, so it loses its status as tuma. Yet Rabbi Lezer said over here, we quote him, "Bein min amuchan, bein she'ena min amuchan, tame." So how can Rabbi Lezer say, if you say "she'ena min amuchan," means, I'm sorry, if you say "bein min amuchan, tame," it means that even if it's still in the garbage, it's still tame, and even if it's not a new garment. Yet there in the other Mishnah, it seems quite clear that Rabbi Lezer is agreeing that if you threw an old garment into the city dump, it's not Mekabel Tumah anymore. Only a new garment is still Mekabel Tumah after you threw it into the city dump. So if you're going to say that Minamucha and Eno Minamucha pertain to whether you put it on a garbage dump or not, and that Rabbi Lezer holds regardless it's Mekabel Tumah, it doesn't square away with the other Mishnah, which says that even Rabbi Lezer agrees that unless it's one of the significant materials, once it's thrown into a dump, it's no longer Metame. So that could be the definition of Eno Minamucha.
So maybe you don't have the intention, you're throwing away something new, and you don't have the intention to ever retrieve it. So then it won't come to it. It's only the hands.
No, but you know, no, it still won't, well, maybe. You could say that. Gemara gives a different answer. Maybe. Maybe the Gemara could have said that. I'm not sure. I don't want to. Didn't think it through, so I don't know. But the Gemara says this is the pshat. Really, we're talking about a simple piece of cloth, and you didn't even have in mind to throw into the garbage. However, the difference is whether Rabbi Lezer, when he says it's talking about if he designated right to be a patch, because what is a 3x3 piece of material good for? For a patch, right? So if he, it means regardless of whether you designate for that purpose or not, as long as it's not a garbage dump, it's mekabel tuma. If it's in a garbage dump, unless it's made of Zahori Sar Gaman or something Chodosh, that's not going to be in time regardless. But if it's not a garbage dump, whether you designate it for the purpose of using a patch or not, it's still Mekabel Tuma. Period. Okay? You don't need designation. The other Tanoim argue they only need designation. But he also don't need designation. Hada Yafo Minahi, Vahi Yafo Minato. This is... this case learns from that case now, and that case learns from this case. Hada Yafo Minahi, that case learns from this case. Divi Rabbi Lezer V'husha Kipla. This is talk. That which our Mishnah, Hadi Aminei means our Mishnah learns from there. I'm sorry. Hadi Aminei means our Mishnah learns from there. When Rabbi Lezer says that twisted it or folded the garment to be a wick, that it's still Mekabel Tuma, that is as long as all you did is folded. But if you threw it into the garbage and retrieved it from the garbage in order to use it as a wick, so then that's okay. Because according to Rabbi Lezer, the moment you threw it in the garbage, as long as it wasn't new or purple or red, that's it. It's batel chashivas, right? So therefore, if all you did was folded it, so then it still is mekabel tuma, and then you can't light it erev Shabbos. But if you did something more than that, such as throwing it to the garbage, then you can use it as a bench lift on Friday afternoon. Okay? That's what we learned from there. Vahi yafa min adah, and that case is from our case. That's talking about over there, where that Mishnah over there in Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said over there in that Mishnah that mina muchan tamei v'sheinu mina muchan tar. When it's designated, it's tamei. When it's not designated, it's tar. So we say again, vayi al yavim mina da b'shuloi echina tlosa. When does Rabbi Akiva say that it's not going to be Mekabel Tuma where he didn't prepare it to be used as a patch? However, if you prepared it to use as a patch, so then it's Mekabel Tuma.
I understood this better before. Now I'm not so sure I fully understand it. One second. Yeah.
How do you pay? It's going to be closer. Rashi says, I mean, really, when we say that you have a shrine on social, look at everything now on the page.
Even though it's Christian. No, this is the Chiddush. This is the Chiddush. Now I remember. Even if you singed it, it could still be Mekabel Tuma. That's what it means. As Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Lezer said you must singe it, right? Rabbi Akiva said you don't have to singe it. But says the Gemara, even if you did singe it, it's still Mekabel Tuma. There's still ways in which it could be Mekabel Tuma. When it could still be Mekabel Tuma? If what? If it's Mukhar for what? For a patch, right? In other words, if you, because bear in mind, we're talking about our Mishnah, a large garment, right? A garment which you twisted, and then we have a machlokas. So Rabbi Akiva, with twisting is sufficient. So says Gemara, you know what? Twisting might be sufficient, and certainly singeing is sufficient. But that's only if you didn't have in mind to use a patch. The moment you have in mind to use a patch, that's it.
even if you twisted and singed it, it's still going to be mekabel tumah. And of course, you can't use it to light on Erev Shabbos.
But it's contradictory. Why would you singe something that you want to use?
You change your mind afterwards.
You're
changing your mind, and your mental designation is sufficient to get you in trouble. Okay? Says Gemara, umatari Rabbi Lezer. What's the logic of Rabbi Lezer who asks using this thing to bench Lucht on Shabbos? Not this Kaili. Nasakim Matara Kaili Mashabbos. So, the reason is because when you light it on Shabbos and it burns, you're being Matara Kaili because that's when you're breaking it. It looks like you're doing a procedure on Shabbos. Says Mar Mikim and Shakipla Lotoro. I understand. Well, son, Rabbi Lezer, when you fold it, that should itself indicate taro. You twist it into a wick. Says more no. Shekain shamashim umni imrotzi mikipula. There are expert artisans who want it specifically folded or twisted. I don't know what they do with it, but there are such people. Ask Mara. Okay, so you're breaking the keli. Big deal. When are you breaking the keli? During the day, right? Lomi, but Yom Shitar does become Torah Torah during the day. So what's the problem? You're not breaking the keli on Shabbos. No, Rabbi Lezer Yosha, the Yotiv Shchal Yos Be'erev Shabbos. Because sometimes Yotiv comes on Erev Shabbos, and when Yotiv comes on Erev Shabbos, you might light with this baguette, and you'll be mekalkulit on that Yotiv. Ask the Gemara. Now the Gemara just kind of glosses over that answer. Gemara says, I don't understand what. Yeah. It's Xero. Yeah. Oh, well, we have those. Even the Bavli's got them. So it says, Marvalomi Leitar. So what? It's burning on its own. So it says, it's burning on its own. What do you care? Now, the truth is, there's something messed up here in the Gemara. Because once we know what the Xero is, because sometimes Yom Tov comes on Erev Shabbos, then it's not burning on its own, right? It is burning on its own, but it's burning on its own on the day which is Aser. The concept of burning on its own means once Shabbos begins, your hands are not involved with it anymore. But if we're asking because of Xavier, that sometimes Yom Tov comes on the day of Shabbos, then we got a problem because you're handling it on an Aser day. You might come to handle it on an Aser day and burn it on Yom Tov. All right, so I'm not sure if the Gemara already. Well, I'm sure think the Gemara is out of order here. Okay? So, says Mar, I'm Rabbi Yisraelun Tipote B'Shayubo Sholosh Al Sholosh Mitzvotzamos. Oh, now I understand it. I didn't understand it before. Now I understand it. Stupid me. Okay, now I got it. it is specifically predicated on the previous line. The Morris Kasha is. Wait a minute. Okay, so you're saying it's a problem when Yotav comes on Erev Shabbos and you're lighting on Yotav. Yeah, but so what? When is it going to lose its status as a Kaili? Tonight, when Shabbos begins. By that time, you're no longer involved with it. What's the problem? In other words, you made Xera not to bench Lich with these Kalim, because you might come to light them when Erev Shabbos comes on Yontif, and then you're being involved with the Kalim on Yontif. So what? You're not doing it. It's going to happen later on Shabbos. By that time, you're already not dealing with it anymore. So it says more, you know what? We're talking about where they were exactly, the wick was exactly 3x3. So when is it losing its chashivas? On Yontif, the moment you lit it. Okay? It's very, very simple. Okay. Rabbi Yachar, and tonight I'm awake too. Please join us. Rabbi Yachar, it's better to be asleep. Rabbi, any excuse. Rabbi Yachar, Rabbi Super Shem, Rabbi Shimon the Zero. Rabbi Yachar, Rabbi Shimon, both say name, Rabbi Shimon the Nazir. I saw Mazar Torah. if you made your garment into a bandage, according to a carbonator, or into a belt for a vessel, not for human being, a belt for a vessel, then it's tar, because it's losing status as a beggar. Ask the Gemara, I don't stand. If that's the case, Shari B'Shem and Lav Kamishah Asa Mazar, if you stuck your wick into the oil before Shabbos begins, surely that should be considered no different than making it into a bandage, right? It's surely ice keli at that point. You ruin it by sticking to the oil as a wick. And then where there's an answer to the question. So it's a good question why you shouldn't be able to use it at all.
Did you dry it off?
No, it's still, but stained. It's uckier. Rabbi Zir and Rabbi Yana didn't have tide in the old days. Rabbi Zir and Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yana, Shem, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Yeshua ben Levi said, Nir and Dvorim Shetei Aloha Krabi Akiva. Hypothetically, we should pass on Lord Krabi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva says that it depends, not our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva over there who says that it depends if it's minamuchon or not minamuchon. So if it's muchon or minamuchon, it's tar. If it's not minamuchon, it's tar. We should really pass on like Rabbi Akiva. Shomer Me'ench name, because he determines the difference between the two of these, Machria and the Lashon of the Bavli. He reconciles the two. In other words, Rabbi Lezer is Machria whether it's Mukhan or not. Rabbi Shua is Meka whether it's Mukhan or not. Kiva says it's Osir if it's Eina Mina Mukhan and Mutter if it's Mina Mukhan. Right? Designated to use as a patch. So Rish Basra Kiva, because he comes in the middle and he reconciles the two. He doesn't reconcile them, but he arbitrates between the two. However, Eina Lek Rabbi Shua, the Halacha is really like Rabbi Shua says, whether he designated to be a patch or not, it's still not Mekabel Tuma, because Mikule Sholosh Al Sholosh. It's considered to be a Kula by 3, that designation does not suffice. What do you need besides designation, actual usage, in order for it to be Mekabel Tuma? Losof Dover Tohiro says more on Rabbi Kivan Ar Mishnah, who said that once it's twisted, it's tar and you can use it. It doesn't mean that it really has to be tar. I feel it's male, right? It can even be tummy. You can even light with something tummy. There's no prohibition lying with something tummy, right? That's obviously not a problem. But rather, what the Chiddush Rabbi Akiva is saying in our mission is a different one. Between the Rav Amar Masikin Ve'Kelim Ve'Ein Masikim Shivik Klim, Rav said you're allowed to bench lich with whole vessels, but not with broken vessels, right? So you're now to use broken vessels in order to bench lich. I forgot why. Oh, because it's Yontif. Right. Because they're mukta. Right. You're not allowed to light on Yontif Shchalius Berev Shabbos, the Shiver Kalim, because the Shiver Kalim are mukta, right? Because they're broken vessels. So that's why Rabbi Akiva is coming to say that this is not considered a broken vessel. In other words, once twisting into a wick, even though it's no longer technically a baguette, it's not considered to be a broken vessel, and use that in order to light your candles Friday night. Okay? On that Friday night, even Friday night, which comes on Yontif. Friday Eve, which comes on Yontif. Halachadah. Loikov Adam Shafir Shabitza. Now, everybody has a gear, so here, Beitza. Yeah, it's I don't remember right, so it's a mistake. I think in the Torah meme was Baruch Shomar. But it's, you weren't there when we learned this in the Bible? You don't remember this either? I'm sure it's in the art school, by the Shabbos. I think it's the Baruch Shomar. But let me just see here. Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger brings down the Ma'aril. Rabbi Akiva Eger brings down the Ma'aril, says Shofar Shobitza. So it's already, it's a Rishon. My real race is Shofar Shobitza, yeah. A swamp reed, which makes much more sense than Shofar Shobitza. Whoever heard making an egg and piercing an egg and using it as a piercing an eggshell and using it for holding oil. It did? Where is what is Shoferes Shobitza Shobetza? Shoferes means a tube. Does it make much more sense to say a tube of a reed? Pizza means of a mud swamp, of a marsh, of a swamp. Eggs don't come in tubes.
So I always say, okay, you like over those fair show pizza. I like that much better.
Pizza in the basement. No, really. And use that as like a...
No, it won't burn probably, but it won't draw up the oil. You need to have... It has to be specifically material. Wood doesn't work as a wick. Okay, legal for them for fair show pizza or for fair show beta. Malen Hashem, we shouldn't put oil in it. He then up on there and put it on top of the dripping down onto the candle. For sure, should they mean that that is in order to drip down. For a few isha cheres, even if this is an egg made out of pottery. Why should that be more mutter? Because one of the problems we're going to talk about, the Gemara is going to say, is we're afraid that you're going to take oil away from this separate contraption and use that oil on Shabbos. And that oil is very least this mukta. But it's probably even worse, it's probably going to be mechabe. Because since you intend for that oil to be burned on Shabbos, to take it away would be considered to be a problem of mechabe. So I might say if you put it into pottery, it gets repugnant, and therefore you're not going to remove it. That's not a heter, except Rabbi Yehuda Matzer. Rabbi Yehuda says that that's the reason we matzer. If however, the person who made this lamp made it in such a fashion and connect them together, mutzer, that's permissible. Similarly, when a person should not fill another plate full with oil, the nana beside there, put it next to the lamp he's using. Put the end of the wick in it so it goes from vessel to vessel. They should draw from the second vessel. Permits this practice. Ask more, what's the problem in our Mishnah? Lom, what's the lom this year? Is the Mishum Shlohuscha b'chol tipa v'tipa? Is it because each and every drop was not begun from before Shabbos began? Right? And therefore it's as if on Shabbos you're beginning a new fire. Right? Since it's dripping down. It's the beginning of a new fire on Shabbos and that's awesome. Oshemish kachliyaz or that we're afraid you're going to draw off oil and use it for other purposes. What's the difference between the two opinions? This is the Kormenator is a pshat, the Mashbiach has a pshat, the Vene Moshe is a pshat, but the Mashbiach has a beautiful pshat in this. Hayin's Kuka Diaklun, he says, is those things which are required to be burned. Kuka means Zakuk, means required. Diaklun means to burn. So what does that mean? That they're required to burn means repulsive oil. If it's repulsive oil, so it should be a nafkamina. If you hold it's because they haven't yet begun to burn from before Shabbos, so then the fact that it's repulsive oil doesn't do any good because it's still only dripping down on Shabbos. But if you hold the problem is that we're afraid you're going to take it away, if it's repulsive oil, oil which must only be burnt, so you're not going to come to take it away on Shabbos. And even if it would be two separate pieces, it would be theoretically permissible. Okay? If you're going to say, because they didn't start using each and every drop, you might forget and pour out for your own use. You're not going to forget and do so because it's repugnant oil anyway. Why is that permissible? It's different because it's all together. But there's an implied question here in the Gemara. Wait a minute. But that's so-called a chibur. What does chibur mean? Kadash. So I can say shakula chad. It's not kula chad, right? So says the Gemara. No. Elo im chibra b'yotzer b'sido b'giftu. Gifsus. So that was connected with some sort of glue or cement, and that's why it's considered to be one. You know, don't hack me a trinik with the fact that it's mechubar and not echad. Mechubar and echad are the same thing. It's glued together. Yeah, but it's used as a construction material. Okay? Yotz, limer plaster. Pseudo gives us limer plaster. Okay, Yotz, the Rabbi Yehuda. I don't even know what lime is. As far as I know, a lime is something you put into your Coke. It's not in Sholem, he doesn't know what it is. Alright.
Yos Rabbi Yehuda. Now you're getting back to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita who's Matir. I understand Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is very good. Kedaiti, like he says elsewhere. Rabbi Yehuda has a Shita. If I, let's say, have a drop here, right? And a drop here. And a drop here. So, even though this is barely moist, that's still considered to be a chibur. Okay? As long as there's moisture. It's a very bad example because on the table you can actually see it. It's better with a piece of fabric. In other words, if I dab my shirt in this, right? So then it would still be considered, and then I put my shirt between two puddles of water, so it would be considered to be a chibur. Even though you can't see the liquid. The liquid is absorbed in the shirt. But that's called tofech. It's moist. Okay? Moisture is a chibur. So too with the carbon edot's tainas, what the Gemara means to say that the mashpiach has a different shot here. But the way the carbon edot explains it, what it means, just like moisture is mechaber, so too the dripping is mechaber. In other words, whatever is dripping out is considered to be mechuber to that which is down below. There's similar principles. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's matadish for ferish al beitzo. Okay? Even if it's not kli echon, it's okay. Alright? Now,
even if the drop is separate.
Right, because as long as it's dripping down, it's considered to be connected. It's called nitzok. Nitzok chibur. Right, we had this by the clothes and stuff like that, where the water is pouring down. We pass in nitzok is not a chibur. But this here he says nitzok is a chibur.
I'm saying
they're two different kinds, but they're both moisture. I know he's I take that back. I know if he's only matir, he might be matir by tofech amnas tafich, where it's moisture which can make something else wet. That's not indicated here in our Gemara. It's not being discussed. I don't know. So says Gemara, Tani, we learn psilo achas b'shtekos. Similarly, it says the end of Mishnah: if you have one wick going from a cup to another cup, or b'shtekaros, or with two. Because Rabbi Yehuda daite this also, Rabbi Yehuda's line opinion, the opinion elsewhere. Rabbi Yehuda, I remember tofei achibur. Rabbi Yehuda holds moisture as a connection. In other words, the moist wick going from vessel to vessel connects the two vessels together, and that's why it's all going to be one vessel, and it's okay. Okay, hamachab b'saner. Somebody who extinguishes a candle. If nation you misjoy b'nei akum because they're afraid of going. And he listens because of bandits. And they ruach ruach because of he has a sickness or some mental ailment, afraid of the light. And Mishael choyla shishan or for a sick person to sleep, potter is exempt. It's osir, but it's potter because it's not a positive act. Kachasanev is doing it in order to save the candle, the to save the oil. Chasam still to save the wick. Chayev. Rabbi Yossi, part of the says you're part of all of them. Except where you want to save the wick, they should assault pechom because you want to have charcoal at the top of the wick. So that's constructive mechaber. Okay. Amar Shul Rabbi Yitzchak Ibnei Akum Shel Sakana. When our mission lies to you because the coin, it's because the coin will come and kill you. And they lease him shall sakana. Or the bandits will come and kill you. Rabbi Yossi boys, Rabbi Yossi asks, even they lease him shall sakana, need they mutter. If you're going to get killed, so it's because never. It's not just potter, it's mutter also, right? Rabban the Kitzvah Mishim Rabbi Yisrael said, mutter. They talk to change gears in our mission to the word mutter. Ma bin amatzu mi mashav ener, bin amatzu mashav zayis. This is a very weird question. The Bnei Moshe Korban Eida have their pshatim. Well, I'll tell you, the two of Yerushalayim has a pshat which I like better. But in any event, this is the case. Why is it? What's the difference if you extinguish a candle? This is, I'll tell you first. Pay much carbonated. What's the difference if you extinguish a candle, or if you take oil out of a container, or out of an olive? They should both have the same status. What?
Taking oil out of the olive is more indirect. Extinguishing, just diminishing.
Yeah, isn't that a partial chiluk? So that's what the two view shalim says the chiluk is not that. That's not the question. The question is, Chachos Hashem, we're assuming not that you're extinguishing the wick to save the oil, but rather you're taking the oil out to save the oil.
That would make the same parallel case. That's a Tov Yerushalayim shot. Everybody asks the question, everybody understands the question, that it, the question is, well, if you're just extinguishing, so it's the same thing like taking oil out of an olive, what's the difference, right? But he says, of course, it's not comparable, and that's why he says that the comparison is, if you're taking oil out of the candle, that should be taking like oil out of the olive. And taking oil out of the olive, unless you're pressing it, is not necessarily doraisa. So to taking the oil out of the candle should not be necessarily doraisa. So it says one again. Mavi matzu mashu mirevi matzu mashu bezayis. Rabban the kitzar mishem Rabbi Shila. Rabban the kitzar name Rabbi Shila. Dinua, they judged it. That is difference. Loidem matzu miguvashu b'sila. There's no comparison between he who says from the wick, the matzu chutzi guvashu b'sila, and he who says from beyond the wick. Okay? In other words, according to everybody else, what it means is, in one case, you're extinguishing the wick. That's this is the rice mechaber. In other case, you're just taking from within the olive. That's not a problem. The other interpretation here, which is Tov Yerushalayim's interpretation, is that here, it's something which is being drawn towards the wick. It's part and parcel of the candle already. Therefore, to remove it is to remove it from the burning entity. That's much more chomer than removing oil from an olive, which is not comparable to that. All right, the bottom line says no comparison. It's very strange. Hav means the Gemara had. Says so more further. I'm Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Shnei Marav, Rabbi Yochan. Rabbi Yosef, in our mission, Rabbi Shimon, the famous Rabbi Shimon, both said the same thing. What is that? Kemad Rabbi Yosef Amar Atchielu Tzorch Begufa Shem Sila. Just like Rabbi Yosef said, it has to be a malacha atzvichel gufa that you're doing it in order to get coal at the tip of the wick. Can Rabbi Shimon Omer? So Rabbi Shimon always says, we know that throughout Shas, Atchielu Tzorch Begufa Shel Dover, it has to be a malacha atzvichel gufa. You have to extinguish it for the purpose of the thing you're extinguishing it for. Ba'is Loch B'tzorach Gufa Shem B'tzorach Begufa Shem Sila. What do you need from the wick? So Rabbi Gezer, Blazer Shem Mechina said, Shekein Shamoshe Umnim, expert craftsmen, Mecharchin Lon, they singe the tip of the wick to make it easier to burn. How do we know that Mecharchin means to singe? Kamoda Tema, Vesare Shon Loch Hitcharech. Says in Pasuk and Daniel, the head of their hair was not singed. So we see that singeing is called Charech. What does the word mecharchelon mean? Mefasfisin lon. I guess in Aramaic, mefasfis means to burn or to sin. Time of today, we learned over there. Call mecharchelon, anybody who ruins something on Shabbos is potter. Chutz min avavir, except for somebody who burns, v'minosa chabura, or makes a wound. Bagapor amer, that's true. I feel ainot tzorach l'dam, even you don't need the blood. I feel ainot tzorach l'efer, even you don't need the ashes. Rabbi Yochanan argues, although the Gemara itself doesn't bring that Rabbi Yochanan, all the mefarshim, every single one of them says Rabbi Yochanan should be in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says it's true your chayv if you're mekalkel by choyv l'mavir, but only if you need the blood as a result of your activity. Now this does be trich l'gufa. Mekalkel, if you wouldn't need the blood or the afer, that would be not only mekalkel, but mekalkel sheina tzrich legufa, right? Because you don't need the result. In order to make a tzrich legufa, you should at the end of the process need the blood or the dirt which you're getting, right? The blood or the ashes which you're getting. Says in our Masih, so please go, Rabbi Yochanan. The following mission seems to argue in Rabbi Yochanan. It says, Shorosh Ilikas HaGodesh. If your ox burnt down somebody else's wheat hay pile, on Shabbos Chayiv, you got to pay for it. Chayiv here means pay for it. Vush Ilikas HaGodesh. If you yourself burnt it down on Shabbos, potter. You're exempt. You don't have to pay for it. Why Kim Lerabmane? Kill you instead. Says the Gemara, Shorosh Ilikas HaGodesh B'Shabbos Chayiv, obviously. Shalol Tzorach, right? I forgot what Shalol Tzorach means. Right, it's not for the purpose, so the person. So of course you're chayiv. But who shall lead us a godish vachu shall lead us a godish b'shabbes potur? But here, when he lit the
No, Shotzer means Imloch Shein Yitzuch L'Gufa. It's Imloch Shein Yitzuch L'Gufa. That's why he has to pay for it. Well, it seems that, whatever, it's just semantics. It means that he didn't do it. But however, why is he Potter when he himself lit the Gaddish? According to Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Shelo Tzarech, it sounds like even if he didn't need the dirt, the ashes, he's still Potter from paying. Why? Where's the Kim L'Rabimine? If he didn't need the ashes, he shouldn't be Chayim Misa. And there should be no Kim L'Rabimine. Why is he Potter, right? So the more answers you forgot. This is a portion of Bavli. Tani, we learn, is all over in the Bavli. Tani, call me Schaib, and Nafshu Shragi, maybe Chatos. Anybody who's transgresses in Avera, B'shogeg is Chayim Chatos. The one is Chayim Misa, if he didn't amaze it. Amri Chanina, Breder of Hilo, Mi'achar. Chanina by Brayel took the step further. He said, "Miachar." Here's a typo. It should be "Miachar shel tzorech." Chaim is chayev anafsho. Any time where if he did it in a way which was tzrich l'gufa, where he needed the ashes, he'd be chayev misa. The kach shelo tzorech potter min tashlumin. Here, even if he did shelo tzrich l'gufa, you're potter from pay. Because we know that Kilu Rabinei applies even when you're not liable to death penalty in this specific scenario, if you could have been liable to death penalty in a related scenario. And that we know from the following drasha, Minada, from this pasuk. It says, Makabe Meshamen, it says, if you smite an animal, you pay. Makar, if you smite a person, you must. You can't get killed. Ma makabeim, or just like when you smite an animal, lochilak the ba makes no difference. Beim shogil mezid, whether you smote the animal intentionally or unintentionally, lochayv a moment, you always got to pay. Av makar, so too, when you smite a person, which is a capital crime, lotach lochbo ben shogil ben mezid liftar mamon. No matter what the circumstances are, you're always exempt. Kila Rabinei works even where we don't give you the death penalty if it's a crime which, done in the right circumstances, could have given you the death penalty. Okay. That's true, but you don't have to come on to that. Even if it's not Chaim Misa B'Shemayim, even if it's a Shogei Gomor, it's not Chaim Misa B'Shemayim, it's still. The Kasha of the Bar Kapora. I have on the other hand a Kasha Bar Kapora. Havara Lom Dal Kol Melachos Shabbat Torah. Kulu Tzorech. Let Havara teach all the melachos in the Torah. Why is Havara unique? That Havara doesn't have to be the Lutzorech. Let you be chayav in all melachos Torah, even the Lo Tzrich L'Gufa. Like Rabbi Yehuda Taka holds, right? Bakapur is going Rabbi Shimon. He says, Rabbi Shimon, that by Havara, it doesn't have to be Tzrich L'Gufa. Why not then so to say by all of them he doesn't mean to Lugufa, right? Why the distinction? Rabbi Yasi said in Yizbark, Rabbi Yochan, if he holds like Rabbi Yochan, Damar Havara Limdal Kol Melachos Shabbat Torah, that holds that Havara teaches us about all the melachos. Remember, this is machlokas, famous machlokas. Havara l'lav yotzor l'chalik yotzor. Havara l'chalik yotzor means all. Havara is specified in the Torah. The only one of the 39 melachos. Why it's specified? To teach you chayv chatas in each and every carbon, and each and every melacha. So if Rabbi Yochanan, that holds Havara is l'chalik yotzor, so then he would have a kasha. He'd have to learn out that each and every melach in the Torah also, you should be chayv and shlotz. But Rabbi Lezer mar Havara limda l'atzma. Rabbi Lezer says Havara is unique. Havara is special unto itself, that it's only a lav and not a chi of misa. So therefore, you can't extrapolate from there anything else. So to Ula holds Havara is unique, and we can't extrapolate from there anything else. Well, there's a flaw in that. What about Chayvel, which he said also doesn't have to be Latzorach? We'll come to that tomorrow. Yeah, it's poor. It only relates to the Bavli, not to the Yerushal. It's the Sarah Sashas, the Bavli. The answer was the F2.